Welcome to the Welding Business Insurance Podcast. Where our podcasts are late, but our bids are on time. I'm your host, Kevin, with JMW Fabrication. Today, we have episode number 2 with Nick Carlton from Weldworks LLC. They're a high-end residential company up in Rochester, New York, and if you haven't seen their stuff, you should really go check them out. Find them on Instagram at Weldworks LLC. Find the podcast at Welding Business Owners Podcast. Find me at JMW Fabrication. Find the Fabricator Olympics and everything that went on there over at Fabricator Olympics. And without any further ado, enjoy the episode. So how do you deal with like your work? So tell me a little bit about like your family situation and how you deal with like the work life balance and juggling.
Oof. My gosh, you want to talk to my wife right now about that? She might have a different outlook.
Absolutely.
That's a tough one.
See what
that is. That's certainly, if there's one struggle that I wish I had better answers to, that would be it. Oh my gosh. We figured out how to weld product, how to do good. We've got sales going. Man, that is a tough one. I love talking shop with everybody that's willing to hear that. It's difficult. You know, early on, it was late nights. It was hustling. Like I said, there were restaurants and bars. Those guys would have me come in. Hey, come on down to the bar, have a beer. We'll talk about the next project. My wife's looking at me going, you're doing what? You're going out to the bar at Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. What are you doing? No, they're going to give me a job. I swear, you know? So that turned into, okay, I'm going out for cigars with a new client. You know, we're going out for a weekend. We're going out wherever. And it's always been something. It's always the next something. And like I said, we've hit our stride. I got under control at this point. And now I can't seem to peel myself out of here. I'm running the front end of the business. And then the guys go home and I say, okay, now I can get my work done. I can get, you know, it's quiet. I don't have to answer questions every 10 minutes. And that's what led to that admin position ultimately that she hasn't even started yet, was because I was putting out fires all day. And then the guys would go home and I'd get to work finally. So I was doing the engineering on some of the big designs. You know, we have a designer full time, but I was doing the 30,000 foot overview because I'm the one that talked to the client and knows what they need. So I'd put to paper the big picture and then somebody would detail it out, you know, make the cut lists, do all the parts like that. So I was doing those type tasks and it's been a struggle. My work-life balance is terrible. I also don't know that I love the idea of calling it a balance because that implies that it's 50-50 and it's never going to be. Yeah. The reality is I love this so much. I wake up and I just, this is what I like doing. I'm truly being paid to play. I have dumb sandbox equipment, toys and cranes and a building I can throw a football in and I can do whatever. This is my dream hobby. So it's a tough balancing act. The reality is I've had to catch myself and pull away and say, I'm flying too close straight down to the sun. You know, I'm looking at it, but I don't realize how just off in the weeds I am.
Yeah.
I've lost friends over this. You know, it's been sad. I reach out to these guys still now and it's like, I miss what we had. You know, I lost myself for a little while and I blew off everything else in life because this was so important. And now I'm trying to say, okay, this is kind of running on its own. I can start to look back towards the friends, back to the hobbies, back to playing race car if I wanted to tinker. But it's tough. That's definitely the number one. If I could tell a young guy that wanted to start business day one, I'd say make sure and keep an eye on that. Keep that in check.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like we're kind of in the same boat where I threw everything I had at building the business for a long, long time. And I became I'm just a crappy friend. I just don't answer phone calls. I barely respond to texts. And like, I'm just so busy. Well, I was so busy putting out fires in the business that I just didn't have the mental bandwidth to do any of that. And then I look up and it's like, oh, I don't have any friends anymore. Like my friends, people I talk to every day are business associates. Like,
exactly.
Dang, maybe I should be a better friend, you know?
Yep.
So it's not a balance. even if it's not 50-50, it's still like once you're it's like trying to balance something in the wind. Like something's like a wind's going to come through and blow, and it's going to push you off center to what this one side. And you're going to have to, you know, hopefully come back and recorrect it and bring it back to center. And then just, you're going to get blown off again. It's going to be a constant battle, like our entire careers.
Yeah. And I feel like owning the business is a little bit, you know, people see it almost with that social media lens where the grass is always greener. You know, they see me cash the big check and then it must be easy. And why can't you afford to step away from it and go take a vacation? And I mean, how delicate and frail it is sometimes is scary. And then how, when I know that it's silly fat and I could step away, that's actually when I'm more scared because I'm just waiting for their shoe to drop. Yeah, it's the ebbs and flows definitely get bigger. You know, there's more zeros on the end now, basically. The dollars get bigger, the highs get higher, the lows get lower. The problems are the same, though.
Yeah.
It's a different scale.
Yep. More money, more problems, right?
Good old Biggie.
That's what Biggie said. Yeah, I feel like it's I feel like the social media lens that people see things glorifies being a business. And so they're like, me and my wife have a joke that every person who comes in for an interview, what's your dream job? I want to own a welding company. Everybody who's ever freaking welded wants to own a welding company.
Yep.
I'm like, no, you don't. No, you do. You think you want to own a welding company? You don't want to own a welding company. If you can deal with it, it's good. But you have to be built for this. Like, I was a terrible employee. I knew how to do it better. I could do it faster. Like, I was terrible.
Oh, I was just saying that. I was just talking about that.
Yeah. So it like, I could not go back to working for somebody else. You know, I have a touch
what?
Of
need. I'd be the best employee ever, I think, at this point. Because I would know how to shut up and just do my job.
Well, if I could shut up and just do my job, I would. But I wouldn't, because I really love the freedom of doing it. Because I have, you know, I've got ADD and I'm doing three to eight things at one time. And I'm not completing any of them. And that makes a terrible employee. And
oh, for sure.
So like it's built in my, like, I love the business aspect of this just as much as I love the welding side. In fact, I don't even love welding that much anymore. Like, I would much rather cut, fabricate, and work on the business than lay down beautiful beads. Like, I've seen my welding, my actual welding skill regress. The less I do it. So, and you know what? I'm okay with that because I really love the business side of things. But I would make a terrible employee, and I just, not everybody's built out for this, and it really takes a certain type of person to really be a good business owner, you know?
Sure. Yeah, it's a different thing. Being a good welder does not make you a good business owner.
Yeah. If you were to do it all again and start all over again, what would you do differently?
What would I do differently? You know, I think I would ask more advice from the people that have given me advice now earlier. I think early on, I wanted to be very proud of doing it on my own. I was very stubborn in that sense. I didn't want the help. And I think it doesn't necessarily have to do with even owning the business. It's just me getting older and realizing the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. Or didn't know then. But for whatever reason, I wanted to do it myself. I wanted to be proud of learning it the hard way. And in hindsight, I've had some phenomenal mentors that all along were telling me the same advice. It wasn't until I started taking it that I got more successful. So I think, that might be the one thing that I tell myself is put your pride away and, you know, accept help. It's not weakness. People want to help you succeed. let them.
So what kind of inspiration do you listen to as far as like podcasts and books and like what keeps you going and what fuels your continuous learning?
Yeah. So we have my clients. I guess I could say that we pretty much cater to the 1%.
Okay.
So they're fairly high-end clients with some wealth. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those times where when they talk, I listen. And I've gotten to have relationships with them that most of the subcontractors don't because of the scale of work we do or how involved it is or how much they interact with it, such as the stairs in their home. So they want to have a lot of input. And when I get to talk with those guys, the things they say just resonate with me for months. Sometimes I'll think of, one little 10-minute interaction, all of a sudden will ping something months down the road for me. Those guys are always alluding to things that are kind of hinting at stuff. They're telling me what I should be looking at. I joke, one of my guys is an investment banker. I said, what stocks are you looking at today, Ed? I have some great clients, basically, that, like I said, those are the guys that have helped me to succeed. They want to help me succeed because I keep bringing more work to them. They want to help, but they offer good advice. So I think it's find people that you trust and put your trust in them and follow it. I'm going to go through, like you unabashedly said earlier, we weren't really following each other earlier. I'm going to go look through your podcast, hear what other owners said. What can I glean from them? What have they done that I haven't done yet? What mistakes have they figured out that I haven't even hit yet?
Yep.
I love that too. Learning from each other's, there's not much magic to this. It's show up, do your job, pay the bill, get paid. Yep. There's just a lot more to it. Obviously there's layers and layers. I don't know what I don't know, but some of the guys you talked to have probably been through it. They're 10 years in, there's 15 years in.
Yep.
They're in a different sector. So they've dealt with customers. An example is I, up until recently, hadn't worried about anybody not paying me. That's an issue every business owner has, right?
Yeah.
Well, all of a sudden I got a concern that I might not get a pay once from a general contractor. And I didn't know what to do. And man, was that scary. Somebody all of a sudden was holding out a lot of money. They were given 30 days, it went 60 days, it went 90 days. Okay, we're at 100 days, guys. What's going on? It's a lot of money. I didn't know what to do. What recourse do I have? I don't even know an attorney. Who do I call? How do I deal with this? Yeah. But there's guys I'm sure that you've talked to that have been down that road and have things in place today to help prevent that. I want to put those things in place today without the experience.
Yep. Well, those are good problems to not have. So consider yourself lucky.
I do. We're very fortunate in that sense.
So how do you, is your customer base kind of the same contractors and builders, or do you seek outside new customers, and how do you market your business in a way that you don't.
It's completely word of mouth.
Wow. Dang.
And
okay.
It is 100% word of mouth. I haven't updated my website in 5 years. It's embarrassing now. I mean, it's a fine website and it has some of our very early work on there. What I found was that most of these clients don't want pictures of their homes published. So it's a good and a bad thing, right? I can't really show off what we do all the time. Every so often I show glimpses, or we can, put up tease pictures or small nuggets, but nothing of the full scale of what we're doing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter. I mean, again, back to social media, it's fun. I love showing off what we do and oohing and on with people that I don't know, but really our clients go to their neighbor's house and say, "Hey, Joe Millionaire, I'm also a millionaire. Who did your stairs? Oh, Nick did them. Let's go get Weldworks to do our stairs." And that's been our business at this point. I mean, it's all word of mouth. We've reached all the way down into New York City at this point. Our clients have multiple homes. So they have vacation homes. So they have a primary residence down in New York. And then the same thing has snowballed where we were down in New York. We met a subcontractor that also is over on job B, not related to our original one. And all of a sudden we have connections down in New York. And it's, you know, that's truly the hustle of make those connections, make the, you know, it's weird how the plumber is the one selling my job at millionaires' houses or things like that. But yeah, it's, we're in a very unique situation.
Wow. That's awesome. That's really interesting.
It is, until then again, you think about, okay, what happens if Joe doesn't go talk to his neighbor for 6 months? And then, you know, back to, we don't market. And I don't, if I had to go reach out for this work someday, I wouldn't know where to begin. it's another one of those lessons where I've been naive to it this whole time because it's just kind of come. If I had to go get it, or if we grow to the point where I needed to fill, you know, more people in the shop, I don't know that I'd know how to get there right now.
Interesting.
That's scary too.
Yeah, I could totally see that. So, like with the spot that you're at, what are some of your professional and personal goals over the next, like, 2, 5, 10 years that you hope to, you know, attain with you, like, just personal and business?
Sure. Community outreach, actually. So this is a unique one. This happened about a year ago. I've been in several leadership training courses with our local Chamber of Commerce, with private groups, and they've plugged me into the not-for-profit sector and the volunteerism and volunteering with the town. And in a way, I kind of want to have a give back sense of, okay, now I can do this. One of the things that we did about a year ago was we teamed up with a local teen awareness outreach program, and we put on a job fair, and we introduced kids that were in need to the trades. And we had kids over, you know, at our booth welding going, I didn't even know what welding was. Oh, wait, these are pictures of the work you do? And now I've got kids that are interested to go to trade schools. That's awesome. I'd love to get more involved with that. That particular group that we were with is now building a new building. Well, of course I'd love to do the railings there and, you know, get that little bit of work. But what I reached out to them and said, hey, how about this? Get your teens to design the railings, bring them down to my shop. We'll teach them how to build them. We'll let them build them with their own hands. You know, like, come on down, let's do it. So I think being more involved in the community is kind of one of my personal goals. It's very rewarding to give back. You know, one of the fun things I got to do the past couple of years at Christmas time, adopting a family and, you know, just buying gifts blindly for people that I didn't know and giving them to these various groups. It's been a lot of fun to do that behind the scenes, to, you know, just be able to share what I've been gifted. I didn't have a whole lot. I don't need a whole lot. I have more than I've ever dreamt of having right now. So let me share it. Let me share what I've got with everybody else.
How about professionally?
So a fun nugget about me is I actually left high school in 10th grade. I didn't graduate.
Oh.
I have a professional goal to someday go get a MBA or a doctorate. Obviously, that's quite a significant time and financial burden. However, I'd like to get to the point where I can do that and put those letters after the end of my name just to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a redneck engineer right now. I'd love to be a professional engineer for real, or an MBA or something like that. Someday that's on my goal list.
That's awesome. The engineer, like how my brain works, just makes sense for me to be an engineer.
But oh my gosh, yes.
I could never go to, well, I could. That sounds absolutely excruciating to go back to school to try to do that. I'm getting anxious now just thinking about going back to school.
Yeah, no, the school part is deterring me.
Like,
yeah, I'm with you. Things just, I see it and it makes sense. If I want to hold something, you put a gusset on it, right? It just makes sense, I guess. You're right. I don't know. I can't explain it. It works, though.
Can I just buy a degree or something like that? Like, can't you buy a degree right. from India or something like that right. for like $20,000 and just be like, all right, here we go.
Or cash in all of the things that I've built that are in the real world today, functioning and work, and say, doesn't that count for something?
Right? Right? Maybe I should make my own welding business owner's credentials and just kind of like like you have proven yourself in my eyes that you are capable. Here's a master's degree in engineering.
Here's the certificate. Right.
This doesn't mean anything, but I say you can put the letters after your name. So go ahead and do it.
Absolutely.
Where'd you go to school? What does that matter?
JMW University.
That's awesome. Yeah. YouTube University.
Oh, so YouTube University. There's a fun one, right? How many things have you learned from YouTube University?
You know what? It's not about... So one thing that frustrated people who like my team members when I would... Like, I've gotten over this and I've gotten better. I was like, just go figure it out. Just go Google it. Watch a YouTube video on it. And because I was just too busy and I just didn't want to teach anybody. I was like, screw it. I figured out how to do it by watching YouTube. And I figured out how to do it by Googling it. So why can't you? And instead of just taking the time, like the hour and like teaching them, I made them struggle through it. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe, you know. I realized like maybe that's not the best way to empower my team and teach people, but oh my gosh, if I don't know how to do it, like it's more about like I'm trying to teach this with my son who's 14. I'm teaching him that when you don't know how to do something or you don't know the answer to something, how do you get that answer? It's okay that you don't know it. It's not okay that you don't know how to go about getting the answer. So, sure. And you know, it's really just it's the problem solving of knowing where to go. Like, just turn to Google or turn to YouTube, figure out how to do it. Like, I can't tell you how many welding tips and tricks videos I've watched when you know I get a call and say, "Hey, can you weld this?" I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll weld it for you. And then I drop it off. I'm like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. Let me Let me Google to see what rod I need to use to weld this up because I don't know.
How about this? I'll admit today the same thing. There's stuff I don't know. I'll be Googling, oh my God, I got to weld brass to this, which yeah, I'm still doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not a professional, you know, yeah, I'm a professional and people pay me, but it doesn't mean I know it all right now.
Sure.
There's plenty of this stuff that I'm still going, I don't know. Let's figure it out.
I think it's more valuable to admit that you don't know things and then go learn them than it is to pretend like you do and then screw it up, you know?
That's a dangerous thing right there, for sure.
But, yeah, so the YouTube University, man, that's...
So YouTube University taught me how to drive semi-truck. in a similar boat, we bought, not far from what you're driving right now, we bought a 5500 service body, and it was great. Except for the fact that I couldn't pull my trailer and my spider crane now with it because I needed a CDL. So I'm going, okay, well, I don't really want to take my CDL test in a, you know, 20-foot tag trailer. I'm going to have a super restricted A. I want the real deal. I want a full-blown big guy one. Well, let's go buy a tractor trailer and figure it out. So we bought a tractor trailer. I'm going, do you know how to drive a 10-speed? No. Do you know how to drive a 10-speed? No. Let's figure it out. So we YouTubed how to drive a tractor trailer. And sure enough, a month later, we got CDLAs.
Oh, I love it.
Yep. I have no business driving that thing down the road, but sure enough, the state of New York thinks I can.
Oh, man. Just because you have the license doesn't mean you're qualified, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Or you're competent, I should say.
Right. No, we've been... You know, we've been driving trailers since I was young. All my guys here were, that's great. And then it seemed really silly when all of a sudden we couldn't pull our 20-foot trailer with the new truck.
Right.
because of the weight restrictions, you know, and all the, it was like, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. So now we're elbows deep into all the DOT stuff and you know, the technicalities with that.
Yep.
Back to the 5 minute jobs. You got to learn how to register a tractor trailer. It's not like your pickup truck. You got to get hut numbers. You got to get DOT numbers. Yeah. The whole work gamut stuff that I didn't even know that I needed to know until I was in this position. You know, just like, oh, I see the trucks with stickers on the side and it's just done. It's figured out.
Yep.
You know, everybody else already had it just figured out. It was just there. It existed.
Yep. That's it, man. So you guys have a spider crane too?
We do. We've got the 376.
Oh, one step up. All right.
Very we do. Nice. Yeah. That thing. Yeah. Like yours. That thing is just, it paid for itself on the first job. I'm convinced. Yep. That was awesome.
Yeah.
So mine is an older girl, actually. It is not a new one. It looks shiny in our pictures. It's from Australia, though. So I bought that, and I did not have the money a few years ago to buy this thing, really, but I knew I needed it. I found one on a machinery trader. It was a crane dealer out of Australia. I said, okay, great. Let's do it. Here's a check. I'm wearing it over. Load it onto a container. Just sell me the container, sell me everything. I'll just keep the container. It's going to be in this new garage. So this was December of 2019. January of 2020 comes around. COVID's just starting to make the news. They're like, all right, we're going to put it in the container. Guess what? It's on the boat. Guess what? It went to China. China just closed down. Sorry, Nick, your crane is stuck in China in January of 2020. It sat there for 6 months. It sat in China. I was losing my mind. Talk about that was, we only had one hiccup with COVID and that was it. We didn't have anything else. We kept going. We had some jobs that we were still on that I was going nuts, but finally came in. It's been awesome since. Yeah, that thing's, you know, and same thing, it turns heads, as you know. I'm sure, you know, everybody looks at yours and goes, what is that thing? It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to play with it, use it.
Yep. Like, we have ours on an open trailer right now for, so the idea is to put it in an enclosed trailer. Just haven't made the decision to do that yet. So we have a small little trailer that we put it on. And man, fueling up at gas stations and people are like, what is that? Is that a lift? I'm like, it's a crane. They're like, and they look at it. They're like, that doesn't make,
hold it on. Doesn't make sense.
How is that a crane? I'm like, oh, it's a spider crane. The legs come out and I show them pictures. They're like, oh my gosh, you could fit that through a man door. So we have the 295, which is 24 inches wide.
Yep.
And
yep.
They're like, you could fit that through a standard door. I'm like, yeah. They're like, that is absolutely amazing. So yeah, it definitely turns heads and people are really interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah. Ours. I've waffled. In fact, we're at a point where I probably could and can justify and afford another one. And I would look to get that 295 guy, the fit between doorways and some of the tight nimble little spots. Yep. We're not able to quite do yet. Obviously there's the trade. We've got some size that we can, you know, capacity and reach. I've definitely utilized every inch of the 50 some foot of that thing.
Yeah.
you know, if you have it, you'll use it.
Yes.
Just like the shop space, right? I'll find a way to use it.
Well, yeah. So I want to wrap it up real quick, cause I got another call in a little bit, but,
sure thing.
So give me one. Tell me one thing tell me one piece of advice that you would give somebody first starting out that they won't be able to find in a book or a podcast or anything like that.
Ooh, nothing like putting pressure on or anything.
Yeah. Right. Take your time.
No, one piece of advice. So something that has guided me, and it's, you will find this other places, I suppose. Jump and the net will appear. That's been something that I go back to, and it's, you know, the simple message, don't be scared. If you're not willing to take the risk, you're not going to get the reward.
Yep.
Yeah. So go for it.
I could totally see that, because if you're the type of person who business really is for you, you can be, if it doesn't work out for you the first time, that's okay. Take that lesson and go do it a second time.
Do it again.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's no roadmap. There's no guarantee. There's no anything. But one way to assuredly not get there is not doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. All right. Well, do you have anything else for me?
I don't. Thank you for having me today, Kevin. The
dude,
podcast is awesome. Good to talk and meet you.
Same here, man. If you ever find yourself outside of Philadelphia, be sure to hit me up. We've always got space for you guys to come check out our shop. And
check it out.
Yeah, I'd love to have a beer with you, man.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, Nick. See you, buddy.
Yep. Bye.
Well, that's it for the second and final episode with Nick from Weldworks LLC. Check back next week with my talk with Jason from the Art Junkies podcast and Max Saran from the CWB podcast when we were out at FabTech. Mine's going to be part two in a three-part series. So if you're listening to this now, go back and check out Jason's episode. Then you can check out my episode. And then next week, you can check out Max's episode to get the full picture of everything. Until then, find me on Instagram at JMW Fabrication. Find the podcast at Welding Business Owners Podcast. And until next time, get out there, get it done, and get it invoiced.